Radio for the radio impaired.
Gab author Paige Zaplandam gave us a great interview on science fiction, how to get started in writing books, and her new publishing company, Quanta Publishing. I wanted to ask you about your publishing company, because I'm kind of excited to hear that you are working on your own publishing company kind of in the parallel economy.
Well, I mean, I will say, like, it's not unusual these days to have indie authors. So they'll produce their own books, right, as an indie author. And you have the option of just putting whatever, you know, publishing house name that you want to in there, except for obviously you can't say that you're getting published by Penguin when you're not getting published by Penguin, you know. But as far as, you know, if you want to, a lot of people do that. It's not unusual for indie authors to do that, to put it's not that they're actually creating a publishing house, but that's what I would like to do, is because I would like to be able to help other indie authors, because there's more power in numbers, right? So the more that you can work cooperatively with other authors that are doing the same thing that you're trying to do with the same drive and impetus behind it, you know, the better chance you have at success. So if I have other authors in my group that I'm helping them, they're helping me, you know, we're all trying to working together, and we're sharing social media, you know, when we're all working on towards the same goal, it helps everybody, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats.
Right. That's really cool. That's an excellent idea. And especially because of the way things have been going lately, where it seems like an author, if they step out of line ever so slightly, they can be literally canceled in the business. I mean, is that where we're at in publishing these days?
Yes, in regards to cancellation. But it's gotten to the point now where you can't even get a foot in the door with the big publishing houses unless you are catering to their woke nonsense.
Right.
So the more you have of people that are willing to go out on a limb and help conservative science fiction authors bring their stuff to the masses, right? We need proliferation. And it's not like people aren't buying books. They don't want, science fiction readers don't want to get inundated with nonsense.
Right.
They just want a good story.
Yeah.
And like, don't preach at me. And regardless of what it is that you're preaching, like whether it's, you know, love black people more or whatever it is, like, don't preach at me. Just tell me a good story.
It's not just, you know? It's not just science fiction readers. It's just people. People don't want to be preached at. And you know, the funny irony about all of this is, if you go back just maybe 15 or 20 years ago, the script was entirely flipped. And the people who are now preaching this crap are the ones that were saying, don't you tell me about your religion. The hypocrisy is astounding. And I refuse to believe that there's a level of innocence to this anymore. I think it's all by design. I think that if you go back and you read, you know, some of the old, you know, if you go back and read Karl Marx, you go back and read Saul Alinsky, it's all right there. It's in plain black and white. And the only ones that don't understand what it is they're doing when they're promoting and pushing this woke agenda are the duped, you know, the drones that are created through Common Core education and through the proliferation of woke professors and this churning out of these just literal drone students every summer, you know. It's like, so it's not just in science fiction, it's not just in books, it's everywhere. And I think everyone now who has a brain and who is thinking independently feels it, sees it, hears it, and is getting real tired of it. And I think that...
Well, I completely agree. If I can interject one thought here.
Sure.
The science fiction, it was more of a safe haven for a long time.
Right.
From all of this nonsense. Like, you know, the liberal arts, they were shot, right? But like science, it was almost sacrosanct. You don't mess with science, right? Yeah. You can't bring your stupid stuff to science. But now it's here, you know?
It's here in a big way, even in you know, there's hardly anything that has been left untouched by this. And I think the answer is exactly what you're trying to do, right? Each of us, I think what we're doing, like I'm trying to fill a hole that has been created in radio, right? Where you can't turn on a radio station and you can't listen to killer music on the radio without hearing some idiot in between songs trying to push some kind of a woke agenda or just being a blatant idiot. And I don't like that. I love radio. I think that the theater of the mind, see, you work in the theater of the mind as an author, and so do I on radio. Together, me and the person I'm talking to on the other line, we are telling a story, right? And we are creating an image in a listener's mind. And what image we create is extremely important to me. I don't want this idiocracy, for lack of a better word, like the movie, to be the image that's created by this radio station. I can tell you right now. So I want to focus on how we're filling these holes. You know, I'm doing it on radio. You're doing it with authoring and books and book publishing. And I wanted to know more about, like, the business. Like, what exactly do you need? Like, what are you looking for from people on Gab or people who are, like, put myself as an amateur writer, someone who has ideas in his head but wouldn't have any clue on how to begin. Are you looking for people like that?
Well, okay, so here's the thing. People are reading books regardless, right? Like, I mean, and I've done it myself. Like Amazon, right? Amazon's ubiquitous. Maybe Smashwords, you know, whatever. Barnes & Noble, whatever your favorite watering hole is for books. And you're going to go browse, and they're going to put in front of you all of the stuff that they like, right? Because you have another one merged, that are going to put out there what it is that they want you to see and what it is that they want you to buy. So they limit your viewpoint to X amount. And unless you know who to go looking for, like, good luck trying to find the obscure conservative science fiction author. So the biggest thing that probably conservative science fiction authors need from Gab audience members is platform. They need to share. They need to participate. Like, they have a Gab author group where they have Gab authors on there. And they're also, I noticed, like, there's not a whole lot of, even there's a few authors on Gab, science fiction authors that currently write and are currently published, but I don't see them being really active in, like, and maybe this is just a criticism from, you know, that's my perspective. Like, I just haven't seen them be that active for whatever reason. With sharing their books. And I don't know if it's just because, like, nobody wants to be, like, the indie author who won't shut up about himself, you know? But on the other hand, it's like, if you don't put yourself out there, then nobody can know to share about your stuff. So, social media is huge, of course. Especially with getting other people to read it, but also as far as, like, getting more people involved with the process, I feel like there's a lot of despair involved, and I get that, but like I said, at the same time, people are still reading. It's just that they're not reading what they'd preferentially like to read, because it's not put before them. They can't find it. They don't know where it is. So we need just inundation. Now, I'm not saying that everybody who has to write has to be the shiznit of writers. You don't have to be, like, an amazing writer to write. It's like you're never going to get the cream that rises to the top without having the whole pail of milk first, right?
Right, right.
So you got to have that inundation of just a lot of people in order to be able to get and encourage people to write and to be, like, supported in that. You just have to, people have to do it, and they have to start somewhere, and they can't be afraid to do it, and they can't be, and sometimes they're lazy, like, oh, I'd be an amazing writer, I've got all these great ideas, and they just don't do anything with it.
Right.
It's like, well, it takes dedication, and it's an everyday thing, and, like, I work on it I mean, I work on my stuff as often as I can, and in you write in massive spurts rather than writing. Some people are very dedicated and they write X amount every day, you know, a little bit amount every day. And I finally was able to do that with this book more. But it just depends, like, you know, where you're at in life can be different. Hormones can affect a lot of it. Your drive about whether or not you can do things, can't do things, your enthusiasm, whether you want to just, you know, how depressed you are or not depressed you are. So if you're in a good place in your life where you can write and you think that maybe that's something that you'd like to do, like, I definitely encourage people to do that and to pursue their ideas. And
what would be the first step in doing that? What would you tell that person to do, like, initially? Contact your company?
Well, no. Quanta Publishing is more like a... So a traditional publishing house takes care of, it used to. I think it's changed since then because they've had to change because of the whole indie market. They want to exit for so long. I mean, like, back in like the early 2000s and whatnot, indie marketing was considered vanity publishing, and it was very much blown off as like, you know, gross stuff, basically stupid stuff. Vanity publishing, it's self-serving, egotistical. It's for people who are too lame to actually get on with the publishing house because their writing sucks. Well, that is not the case anymore, especially since I think it's Matt Corker, is that his name? Anyway, the guy who created Smashwords was just like, this is nonsense. We have an entire technology here that can be taken advantage of for authors to bring perfectly good books to the masses and completely bypass the normal publishing house. So that's what he did, to his credit, and he built this amazing thing until Amazon caught on, was like, we're gonna blow this out of the water.
Right.
And then so they started doing it. And so they take, Amazon will take a certain percentage of your sales or whatever it is. But the publishing houses, normal publishing houses, take a very significant portion of the sales because they do, you know, they have the big marketing, they have the big introductory parties. They got all these things that they do, and that's all that they do, right? They're dedicated to people publishing books. So it's a big money maker for them. Like, I wouldn't be doing that because I simply do not have the capacity to bring to the table what, like, a major publishing house could bring to the table, which means that, like, I would necessarily, it'd be more of like a split in between as regards to our efforts. Now, like, I can either, as somebody, like, I've edited and published books on my own before, so it's not like I'm unfamiliar with the amount of work that it takes to do this. As far as, like, helping somebody else do it, you could help them source a cover, you help them source an editor if they want to get it, like, you know, they want to hire an outside third party to edit, you help them format it, run it through. And then, as far as like publishing goes, you have multiple authors that are participating under a given publishing house, and all of those works, and they can work together to produce a book or whatever, like an anthology, but you're working together to produce it. And then so, because they still have to do work on their end, their percentage is the percentage cut going to the publishing house would be less than, say, a traditional publisher, but more than, say, you know, if they were just doing it all on their own. So, like, let's say if I took like 10% or whatever, then they would have their percentage, and then the publishing through, because I would be publishing it through the publishing house, you know, Amazon would get whatever percentage that they're charging, depends upon how much you're pricing your book at. But if you're talking about, like, the first step would be, really, I would say, for somebody who's interested in writing, is to get, it's an app called Pluot, Plouot. I use it all the time, and it's on my phone, and I use it for storyboarding. And it has storylines, it has scenes, it's an outline. It helps writers do outlines.
Wow.
So you can go in.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah. It is very exciting. I think I don't know if they max out at a certain amount of, like, yeah, you can't really go over this amount. I think right now I have like 7 different book ideas on there, you know.
That's
awesome.
And
it's nice because they, They have character sheets where they ask, you know, what's your character's favorite color? What does he like to drink?
Wow. See, you know? Like, see, now you're talking. See, yeah. I think that one of the major barrier to entries to a new writer is just the intimidation factor of, I don't know how to start. And it sounds like this app, Pluot, you called it Pluot. This app sounds like it solves most of that problem. Is that a paid app or a free app? How does that work?
It's a free app.
Okay.
There is Pluot, like an upgraded, like Pluot Pro. I haven't really looked into that at all just because I'm on a shoestring budget, can't do, you know, paid apps for stuff. But
right.
It's super nice too because when you do an outline, so you do an outline and then it'll ask you for, you know, a storyline. So you'll say create an outline and then you have a general premise of like what the very general summary, two paragraph summary about what your book is about, who the author is, the title, that kind of a thing. Okay, so then it creates the outline. So now once the outline created, it gives you the option of doing your scenes, your storyline. So it, like in the book I'm working on right now, Privateer, it has two different storylines that are intermingling and intertwined throughout the entire series. I fleshed out in that single outline both of the storylines. So on the scenes, which is a different section of it, I can go back through and I can just plug in, like do the different chapters for and do a scene for each of those chapters. And it'll ask you like, what's the major conflict? What's the resolution for each of those scenes? And on the outlines, it asks you the different parts of the, you know, like the outcome and the major conflict and all these different the major plot point, minor plot point for the different story parts of the storyline.
Wow.
It's very helpful. It makes writing super easy. It helps to trip. So you don't have to sit there and like a lot of times, like I have books on it. Most people, and I have my favorite writing books. Like I have a book on character arcs. Most of my books, I have a few books by K.M. Weiland, who is an indie author, and she wrote a couple books on, one is character arcs and one is plotting your story. And both of those I very much recommend for but I'm a big fan of cheat sheets too. So I've like condensed like basically her stuff into a couple of cheat sheets for myself. But that was what was so nice about it is Pluot kind of took the work out of it. Like I don't need my cheat sheets anymore because Pluot just does that for me already.
Wow, that's awesome. So you're working on a book called Privateer, and I've read some of it, and I tell you, I like it a lot. And I know that you've been working on it, and you've gotten it. How close is Privateer to being finished?
Well, I wrapped up the final chapter on it. It's all available on Substack, Paige Zaplin Dam. /substack.com. And so right now it has to go to the editing, but usually what I like to do is I'll finish up a book and then I let it rest for a little bit in my own head. I let it rest. You know, I don't go back to it. I don't open it. I don't look at it or anything. It's kind of just hanging out back there. And because time is, you know, time helps me forget a lot of things. I mean, there's been, like, I have books that I published, I think my first speculative fiction book I published back in 2015. And I'll go back to that book and I'm like, man, this is really good. Like, if I hadn't written it myself, I'd totally be like, I want to read that book. It's really good. You know? So I'd be buying the sequel. So it helps me with perspective to kind of take a step back from it when I go back to edit it. So right now I'm working on storyboarding book two. I just finished wrapping up storyboarding book two, and I'm going to start working on that. But I think, so then I'll be working on it side by side, which
right.
kind of means that book two is going to take longer to push out because I'm working on editing book one and working on book two at the same time. So that's the next step is to edit book one, and then I'll work on getting a finalized cover and a finalized title. Right now, Privateer is the working title, and it kind of bothers me because I'm like, technically a privateer is somebody who is hired by the government. He's not hired by the government. The main people in this are not hired by the government. They're hired by private corporations. And they are soldiers of fortune, right? They're not actually... They're like, you know, soldiers for... ex-soldiers for hire kind of a thing.
Mercenary types.
Well, mercenary implies that they kill people, right?
Oh, so, right, right.
We're not going that way either. Well, it's,
well, you
know, what do they call, like, Eric Prince's outfit? It's a... Soldier of Fortune, isn't it? That's what it
is? I think so.
I'm pretty sure, there has to be science fiction books out there titled Soldier of Fortune.
Yeah, I'm sure there are. But you do bring up an interesting point. You're making a conscious effort to implement a writing style of your own. You're purposefully being clean in your writing, and you're not going into the macabre, and you're at least that's the impression I got. Correct me if I'm wrong, but
I think part of it's just that I'm generally pure of heart,
right?
And that's not a brag or anything. It's just a reality,
right?
Now I'm not a prude,
right?
But I am generally pure of heart, and I do find it I hate reading books, and especially because it's so common in modern publishing to have books that offend my sensibilities as a traditional Catholic. I'm a traditional Catholic, and it offends my sensibilities to read it. And I said, you're limited in what you can purchase if you're going through what's out there, right?
Right.
So, because of that, it's either you have the option of either not reading at all because you run the risk of exposing yourself to things that for traditional Catholics it would be like occasions of sin or something like that, or you have the option of trying to flip past it or something like that. Like, oh, you know, you try to vet the book beforehand, you read the reviews, and, you know, hopefully there's nothing in there, and so long as everything looks good, there's nothing that's overtly, you know, in your face, or the storyline doesn't do something that you can't really approve of, then you buy it, right? So let's say you do that, and then all of a sudden, bam, they throw in a scene in there that's like, you know, risque, or they're dropping, you know, blasphemy left and right. Well, like, it's like you just wasted your money because now I can't finish the book, and, you know, you want to throw the book across the room kind of a thing. It's really annoying.
Well, see,
so,
this
I try.
Well, this is the point right there, because you, in almost everything today, it is corrupted with literal filth. I mean, it's just absolute filth.
Yeah.
It's getting worse and worse with every passing day. And I think that there's a big audience of people who just want a good story in the same way that you know, I'll give you an example, okay? My wife and I finally broke down and we're watching Stranger Things, okay? We're into season 3. Have you watched it?
I haven't.
Okay. So we're into season 3 now, and it was really, for me, the first two seasons, they kept it just innocent enough to not turn me completely off. But in season 3, it is becoming almost unwatchable. Now, you know, my wife and I look at each other like, are we really going to finish this? And I'm like, well, look how much time we've got into it now, you know? We got to find out how the story ends. What this is it's almost like a trap. And I don't want to be in that trap. And I think a lot of people are feeling that. And you coming out and really and actually speaking out and saying that we are or that you are committed to creating stories that are more traditional and not corrupt is an important thing. It's a very important thing, and I think there's a lot of people that want that.
Right. Well, I don't know if I try to avoid being too controversial on my author page just because I think it can tend to alienate a lot of the people who tend to be more moderate. Now, granted, I'm on Gab, so, you know, moderation is kind of like, well, whatever, moderation is for losers. But by the same token, like I don't see the point in being careless about my words and whatnot. But I will say, like, I am generally of the mind that we've reached a point in the modern world where we're facing a bifurcation of society. So he calls it like the parallel society. I just call it like the bifurcation, where because a bifurcation implies conscious choice. It's not reactionary, it's purposeful, right? I could just sit back and try to go along to get along and just do my thing and not really make a lot of waves about it or whatever. But I'm not here to be in anybody's face, right? The authenticity for me is just, I'm going to be true to what I am and what I like. And if I'm not entertained by it and I couldn't pick it up and read it, I certainly don't feel right writing it or putting it out there for other people. So I'm going to be true to me, and if that means that by default it's choosing against the mainstream leftist woke, you know, then that's what it is. I can't back off from that just because that is what it is. I'm not here to offend anybody or be in anybody's face, but whatever. If they can't handle the heat, whatever. Just they do their thing and I do mine, and that's where the parallel society comes in, right?
Right.
We bifurcate.
Right. This is really cool. You definitely have what it takes to do some serious radio if you've never done it before. It would be a pleasure for me to have you come on, you know, anytime you wanted to promote something new, or if you wanted to make an announcement that there's a new stage of development in one of your books, or with Quanta Publishing, if you wanted to just come on and just talk about the state of publishing in general, or if you get excited about another author and you want to help, you know, help them out, whatever you want to do.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. I think I would love to be able to do like a once a month thing. I probably couldn't commit more than that.
Yeah, no, like I wouldn't even make any commitment at this time because I can't make any commitments.
Yeah.
But like it as you feel when it's in your heart. And see, you mentioned something earlier that I thought was very important about your writing style, in the sense that sometimes you just got to keep writing, and when you have that feeling, I get that, man. You've got to stay on it. When that story starts to flow and that momentum is there, it is much easier to lose it than it is to get it. And you got to stay with it. You got to ride that wave, you know? So if you ever find yourself in a position where you know, something's lit your fire and you want to talk about it and have it put in on the Never Ending Radio Show and help, you know, the other thing we're doing too is we're promoting each other on Gab. And I'll link to your,
yeah.
I'll link you on my site. You link me, I link you. We share, you know, we mm-hmm. share each other and help build momentum that way, you know?
Have you been to the Illustrators page on Gab?
Yes, in fact.
They have.
In fact, I've actually commissioned one to help do some of the artwork. If you go to neverendingradioshow.com, you'll see a player, and then just next to it or right below it, you'll see a just push play icon, which I'm. Mm-hmm. I commissioned an artist right off of that to do that. So yes, I am very familiar. Mm-hmm. Your question was the artist area there. Yes, I have been there. There's some really cool things going on there, and there's some cool things going on all over Gab. And this is what makes me excited, because that parallel economy that we're creating, I think, is going to change the way people do business. I really do. If we just keep plugging away, you know what I mean?
Yep, I do. I think a big part of it is promoting each other.
Yes,
that's a big part of it.
Yes.
I've gone on the like the Illustrators group, and I've promoted a lot of the artists off of there. There's a lot of graphic designers, which are obviously anything having to do with the tech. You know, modern tech stuff is super important because it means that we have more of an avenue in that direction.
Right.
So, yeah, promotion is pretty important.
Cool, man. Paige, it's been a pleasure to have you on the Never Ending Radio Show.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
It's the Never Ending radio show.